Well, our family moved to Italy when I was 9 years old, and an older brother asked for guitar lessons. Beatles were very popular in those days, so my parents were excited when they discovered that there was a teacher who had studied with Segovia and was concertizing all over Italy, so they brought my brother in for the interview. He said, "Classical? Oh no, not for me. So I volunteered to take his place. That's what happened.
And at the time, you were a little more interested in rockets and science?
Well, when we moved back to Minneapolis, which is where I grew up, a year later, I got very involved in rockets. And my father used to say, "You can't launch them until you put an hour in your guitar." So that's how they bribed me to practice. And eventually, when I won a competition and the award was to be a soloist with the Minnesota Orchestra, I was 14, I decided that was even more exciting and fun than setting my worms and grasshoppers up into space. So I shifted gears and decided to spend hours a day doing guitar instead.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay interested? I know the astronaut Chris Hadfield brought one of your CDs up with him.
I think it's really kind of amazing that I had this whole fascination with rockets, NASA, and planets and space travel, and then to meet many years later Chris Hadfield, who is now quite a very famous astronaut who'd been up at the space shuttle. In fact, he brought one of my CDs up there in the travel guitar that I endorse, and he gave me a tour of the Space Center. So it's really, somehow there's synchronicity in life to think that I did make it up in space on a CD.
Very cool. You've done so much to raise the profile of classical guitar and to promote new music, and you've had more pieces written for you than any of the other classical guitarists. What makes you embrace new music so much?
Well, I think I have a natural curiosity about others and their work and their art. And of course, as a guitarist, we want to constantly increase our literature. So I've had over a dozen different works for guitar and orchestra written for me. In fact, a brand new one by the son of Dave Brubeck, Chris Brubeck, a real jazzy, fun piece that I just premiered this April. So for me, it's part of being current and contributing something that will last beyond.
Mm-hmm. Is that one going to be in the lineup this weekend?
No, I'm not playing with the orchestra this weekend. On Friday, I do a keynote talk, and I'll be discussing all kinds of things. We'll also show a trailer from a new documentary called Sharon Isbin Troubadour that was aired on PBS this year on almost 200 stations, and it's been very exciting to see that take off. There's actually a screening had been done of that earlier on Wednesday night, but on Friday we'll show a four-minute trailer of that, and you can actually, and then on Saturdays when I do a show at 11 in the morning, and one of my former students, Colin Davin, will join me on some duets, so it'll be some music that we're doing for the first time and that I think audiences will really love.
Mm-hmm. And so your documentary, if people check that out, they'll see a lot of familiar faces, or at least voices. It's narrated by Susan Stamberg of NPR, Garrison Keillor makes her appearance. There's so many people in here because you collaborate with so many different people. What drives you to collaborate?
Well, I love different styles of music. So if I have an itch to do bluegrass, I joined up with Mark O'Connor, and he wrote a piece that we did together and we recorded together on an album called Journey to the New World. And in fact, Joan Baez is a guest on that album as well. I worked with people as diverse as Steve Vai, who's in the documentary, the rock guitarist, and Steve Morse. Stanley Jordan and I just came off a 20-city tour with another Brazilian guitarist, Romero Lubombo. So for me, it's a way of exploring different kinds of music that I wouldn't necessarily be able to do if I were strictly on my own, even though I do a lot of that too.
Shall we hear a piece of your music?
Sure. This is a work I'm actually going to play in the concert on Saturday morning at 11, and I'll be doing it as a duet with Colin, but in this recording, it comes from an album called Guitar Passions, and it's the one where I got to indulge all my hedonistic fantasies of who I'd like to play with my guitar heroes. So people like Nancy Wilson from Heart is a guest on here, Stanley Jordan, Steve Vai, Steve Morse, Romero. And the duet that you'll hear now, I actually play with myself. So you'll be able to hear me with a different person on that Saturday morning. It's called Porro, which is a dance from Colombia by a composer named Gentil Montaña.
That is amazing. So you are, as no one can doubt when they hear you play, you are really the foremost classical guitarist today, so it's kind of no wonder that you started the program at Juilliard. Can you tell me the story of how that happened?
Well, I was very honored when they got in touch with me and asked if I would create the first guitar program. So that was in 1989. So it's been really thriving. I've had students from over 20 different countries. And it's great to be able to see them go back often to become the premier players where they're from originally. And I just really enjoy working with such talented people.
And you also do a lot more teaching even outside of Juilliard. You're the director of programming there, as well as at the Aspen Music Festival.
Well, Aspen is really a fabulous environment because you're in the Rocky Mountains. So how hard is that to wake up and look outside and think, which one shall I hike today? And I'll give a master class in the afternoon and everything will be just fine. So it's a really beautiful place, and it's the biggest music festival that involves students in North America. There are over 600 students there. The guitar program has been running strong. I've been teaching there for 25 years. And heading the program, we take a number of students from various parts of the world, and it's all master classes, and it's really an exciting journey for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So when you go in to teach a master class, what sort of is your goal? What are you telling your students? Because these are all people who are very good already, right? So you're making them better.
Well, there's so many things that you can do to enhance their playing. The first thing involves listening. You have to learn to really listen to what they're doing, to shape the line, to be lyrical, to have good phrasing, good rhythm. And the guitar is an instrument that has more colors than any other, not just because I'm biased, because it really is true. We can vary the sound by how much fingernail we use, because we don't use picks, how much flesh, the angle, the position. So there's a wealth of colors that are possible, and try to get students to use that like a painter would on a canvas.
Mm-hmm. And where do you see classical guitar going? What do you think is its future?
I think it's already in a real heyday, and I think it's wonderful to see so many different styles of players, different ensembles, and so many composers who are writing for the instrument. It's been gratifying for me to have people like John Coriano and Chris Rouse and Tan Dunn write concerti for me. I played each the one by Rouse over 80 times with orchestra, and the Coriano the same. So it's a way of expanding the horizons of the instrument.
So if people miss you this time, they shouldn't fear, because you are coming back in just a couple months.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I am. That is November, I believe, 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be joined by a wonderful singer, the mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard, who I'm sure many of your audiences already know. She's performed here before. And a beautiful voice. We're doing an all-Spanish program, plus a work that was just commissioned for us by Carnegie Hall and the Harris Theater in Chicago by American composer Richard Daniellepore, that's based on ancient Rumi poetry. So it's a very beautiful program. I'll be doing solos as well. And I think people will really appreciate hearing it from somebody who comes from that culture. Isabel has her family from Argentina, so she grew up with Spanish as one of her first languages and really has the feeling and flavor for this kind of music.
So you've done so many completely amazing things. You've played sold-out crowds at the Kennedy Center, you've played at the White House, you've gone all over the world. Do you have a favorite place you've been, or one of, I'm sure, many favorite memories that you'd be willing to share?
Well, there have been many, but I would have to say one of the most profound was when I was asked to play at the first memorial of 9/11 at Ground Zero. And this was in 2002 on September 11th, which is coming up right now. And it made me think of that as well. So I was asked to play during the reading of the names. There were about five of us. Yo-Yo Ma was one of the other musicians, and it was a very powerful experience because the stage was right next to the family members and survivors, the 14,000 who came up to pay their respects that day. And I'll just never forget the sensation of feeling that this is really why I'm on the planet, that to be part of a healing process for something that was so tragic and so horrifying was really meaningful to me, and it made me appreciate the value of music in a way I'd never really quite experienced before. And I would often during the year that followed, do an encore, one of the pieces that I had played and reference, and people would come up to me and say, thank you so much. I lost a cousin or a sister or a parent, and it meant so much to me. And people would see in the broadcast. Really, it was something that shows you that we're really all in this together, and music has an amazing way of uniting people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And on that note, well, actually, first I want to ask you if there's anything else that you want to talk about that we haven't covered.
Well, you mentioned some of the composers that mm-hmm. I've worked with, and one of the pieces we're going to hear now is by British composer John Dwart, who wrote me a suite called Appalachian Dreams. It's on an album called Dreams of World, which is now on a 5-CD box set. So you can really get a bargain. You get all kinds of music in 5 CDs at once. And it's a work that pays homage to the Appalachian Mountains and the music of that whole culture. And we're going to hear the finale of that, and you'll recognize some of the tunes.
Great. You know, you haven't just done a lot to raise the profile of classical guitar. You've done a lot for women in music. As I'm prepping, I'm reading a lot of articles, and so the word that keeps coming up is trailblazer.
Mm. Well, I think that just being strong and doing what you're doing and forging a new path is a way of inspiring others to believe that they can do as well. And their field might be architecture, it might be literature, it might be science, it could be any variety of things. Some of my heroes have been outside of music, like Martina Navratilova, who is a good friend and who's in the documentary that we were talking about earlier. And it's amazing to see how we all share something in common when blazing a new trail and the challenges that presents, but the tremendous gratification that happens and that comes back to you by really doing something that is good for everyone.
Well, thank you very much for everything you've done.
Well, I'm just doing what I love and bringing a few people along in the process. And now we're going to hear work from an album I did called Journey to the Amazon, which is really fun. I was joined by a percussionist and composer from the Amazon rainforest, Tiago de Mello, who makes most of his own instruments. Some of them are very exotic, like the toenails of a tapir, or the dried-out cocoon shells, of course, the rain stick that makes you feel like you're right in the forest. So this is a work called Seis por Derecho. It's actually by a Venezuelan composer, but Tiago is joining me in improvising on the handheld percussions. This is also part of the 5-CD box set, Seis por Derecho by Antonio Lauro.